Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stick up for and make excuses for him. So I just, the Herb Street comment is still so raw to me and still so like omnipresent for me that that's what's become of this team, where they don't even get credit for handing in an honest day's work in a playoff loss. Hey, the Ravens just have better players, but let's tip our cap to the Steelers for giving it the old college try for 60 minutes and making Baltimore do everything they possibly could do.
They function as a speed bump.
There's no, like, at the very least, maybe you could hang your hat on had they lost. You know, we didn't win this time, but we took a chunk of flesh. We took a pound out of the Ravens.
Like, see if they're going to lose next week. It was because they had to exert so much energy to beat the Steelers.
Yeah, remember.
And you don't have any of that.
Yeah, like, there's a stat out there, I'm sure, of what the Ravens' record is the week after they play the Steelers, and there is for when the Steelers play the Ravens, and how much that game takes a tax or a physical toll on them, and it hurts them the following week. There was none of that.
That was an easy game for Baltimore.
Guys were making business decisions defensively in the second quarter of the game.
I think they all saw
the
Minka
game's
get
not even 45 minutes old.
Yeah, they all saw Minka get stiff-armed into oblivion, and no one wanted a piece of Derrick Henry at that point.
It should be a wake-up call moment for the organization,
won't
but
be.
I am exactly. I am very, very fearful.
I know how you get. You start to talk yourself into certain things because you do a lot of like serious, sober analysis, and then you click it and say it can happen. It won't. You notice I have been like, I'm mad, I'm annoyed, but I'm not surprised, and I'm not going to allow myself to sit here and say it should be a wake-up call. Therefore, maybe it will be. No. Here's a spoiler alert. At best, we'll be sitting here on about January 10th or thereabouts, 2026. And at best, we will be talking about another one of these kind of games. Maybe it'll be the Texans who do it to them next time. Or maybe it'll be the Chargers. But somebody will be beating the brakes off of them, best case scenario, in the wild card round next year.
And in order to have everybody, everybody, at the end of the day, Tomlin says we don't seek comfort. Yes, they do. The way that they've lowered standards, the way that they talked ad infinitum about just winning a playoff game, I think we're going to hear the standard get lowered to, hey, let's make a playoff game interesting. You know, if you're right, next year, it's a repeat of this year, but they only lose their playoff game by a last second field goal.
Does I don't think that's going to happen. No. I don't. Maybe he will.
No, but I'm saying
he probably will. He'll say we're getting closer. Incremental progress.
I think expectations are just going to in order for them to justify the job they're doing and be at peace with it and not make wholesale changes or do something cataclysmic and blow it up, I think they have to continue to change what their objective or what their mission is.
The mission's going to end up being, what was the Grapes of Wrath? The turtle just crosses the road over the span of like several chapters. That'll be their incremental like progress. Hey, made it a couple more feet.
I'm never going to complain about a season where we have a winning record and make the playoffs. I mean, I'm sure Art will try to put it in those kind of terms.
I mean, and I refuse to allow myself to like foam at the mouth about that anymore. That's just who Art is and who he'll always be.
Or he will talk tough
and do nothing.
Exactly.
I would actually rather have him do the former than the latter, because the talking tough, you at least have to like sort of take it seriously, even though you know nothing's going to come of it. I don't want
to
do that.
I thought he tried to sound that way after last year's playoff exit, which, by the way, ended on a much higher note. His thing was the last 2 years, meaning 2022 and 2023. Hey, at least we played our best football late in the season. We came on strong, felt just short 2 years ago, got into the playoffs last year, and the dream died.
Things were heading in the right direction. We had a bad first quarter. We played hard.
They became the first Steelers team in the modern era of football since the merger to lose five in a row without ever having a lead in any of those games.
I've seen it called the curse of Kenny Pickett. They saw him in person in Philly and didn't win again. I'm checking in on our YouTube comments right now. John writes, the O-line made their Wilson Christmas gift Airbnb reservations at halftime in this game. Kind of like that
one. Oh, yeah, that's the gift he gave them? That is good.
I like that one.
So we've been taking your calls on it all day, 412-928-9370. Let's keep those rolling, starting with Nathan in West Virginia. Hello, Nate.
Hey guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, real quick, the question that I can't get off my mind is the big what if. Like, what if Justin stayed in there after the 4-2, you know, start? You know, I get it, Russ was in the pole position, but, man, he's on a hot hand, and you just got to keep – you know what I mean? Like, the other thing that I want to talk about is Mike McCarthy out of Dallas. What's us to say, you know, see you later, Smith. You know, bring in McCarthy as an
no
OC.
Way.
What you guys thought?
Zero
that
chance.
Would involve, first off, I think McCarthy's still going to get head coaching looks in this cycle. Second, hypothetically, let's say McCarthy telegraphed that he wanted to be here. That would involve Art Rooney resolving that he was going to pay Arthur Smith not to work. That isn't happening.
You know, things are stale in Pittsburgh. Things are stale in Dallas. Food for thought. How about a coaching swap? Mike McCarthy's a Pittsburgh guy. Let him go to Pittsburgh. Let Mike Tomlin go to Dallas. Both franchises would be excited.
I, for the record, would not be excited about Mike McCarthy, but I would feel better about the franchise, barely, because I'd rather have the offensive coach.
He can coach
than
offense.
The defensive coach.
He can coach offense. I think he's a better offensive mind than Arthur Smith, no question.
And then to answer,
but if it was a straight up head, sorry, if it was a straight up head coaching swap, no.
And then to respond to what Nathan said about Fields, in retrospect, that was a mistake making the change, because you'd rather see what a young quarterback can do than a guy that's almost 37 years old. But for the record, I don't think it would have changed anything.
Well,
I think they would have had the same exact outcome. They would have made the playoffs, and they would have gotten bounced big.
Yeah, I mean,
in the wild card
they were playing
round.
Horrible everywhere. Is Justin Fields able to make their defense better? No. I mean, and they did get instant results. I mean, I thought I eventually came around to the side of they should have kept Fields in there as the starter, but in the first couple of games after Wilson took over, they looked like they had found some new heights offensively and done some things we hadn't seen in a while. It looked even easy for them at times. So once that happened, they were never going back.
Brandon's next. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, how are you guys? Appreciate you taking my call.
What's up, Brandon?
I wanted to talk about the leader of the offense and pick your guys' brain on this. We look at like dynasties, maybe we argue 3 and 4 years, maybe 3 titles in 5 years if there's an appearance in that 5 years that you lost. I kind of want to talk about like quarterback purgatory, and admittedly, as a Bills fan, you think I'd know the answer, but when do you think quarterback purgatory starts? Is it amount of starters in a year? Is it 4 years, multiple starters? Is, you know, Duck Hodges, your Jeff Toole? I'm just really curious on what your guys' thoughts are on what quarterback purgatory.
I think quarterback purgatory started when Ben blew out his elbow in the second week of the 2018 season.
I would
and
agree.
That's
and I don't think it ever stopped, even when he came back. I think they've been in it ever since.
He was a shell of himself. He could still kind of make it work after that.
Their problem was they did not want to acknowledge that he was a shell of himself who didn't play the position anything like he had previously done, and they placated him, at least in one offseason. They should. His last act, as unfortunate as it would have been for them, should have been the Browns game at Heinz Field. And that's it. You and Pouncey go out together and be done with it. And they just did not have the guts to do that. They thought asking him to take a pay cut would cause him to get so offended that he'd walk away on his own, and he didn't.
And then he ended up taking a pay cut, but then it had to be under the guise of it was Ben's
idea. And I went to them and said, just again, more like we let this guy control a lot of things that he at that point should not have had say so over.
Here's Les on the Fan. Hello, Les.
Hey, guys. So many different thoughts going through my head. Trying to compare the 2020 season, the 11-0 start, the feeling that, you know, they were kind of a paper tiger then, and it turned out we saw what happened that season. This season had a different feel to it, and I want to get your guys' thoughts. I grew up in Pittsburgh, and I retired down to North Carolina with a 35-year stop in New Jersey. So I hear, you know, I grew up with WFAN, and I'm hearing the beating, that it deserved beating that you guys are giving them. They're sitting at 10-3. That Cleveland game, if they somehow win that game, they're 11-2. Baltimore, they look like, you know, 8-5. They looked like they weren't, you know, gonna be anything this year but a wild card. And I go back to Najee's fumble at 17-17 in that game. I just want to get a feel for how you guys felt about this team.
Thanks, Les. I actually think one of the biggest, in the end, one of the most, I had it wrong. I think one of the most destructive things to this season was when they beat Baltimore 18-16. Because that created, I think, in Tomlin, the idea that this whole win with defense and limit mistakes, we can be a great team in the NFL playing that way. We'll live off turnovers. We'll make those splash plays. Yes, Russ threw an interception in the game, but we took it right back.
It reinforced all his bad beliefs.
Yes.
It reinforced a bunch of faulty premises that he operates under. I would also say, I'm sorry, to Les's like argument that maybe if they beat the Browns, this all kind of changes and goes differently. The degree to which they cratered after that, for the most part, no way. I know they beat the Bengals after that game, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
They beat the Bengals after that game, and that's nice. But after that, it was all downhill. Like, you don't just cite one game that they should have won and didn't as the reason this team turned into this.
That Browns game, though, is more evidence that this was not going to work because of three things stick out in my mind from that game. The ridiculous ask of Justin Fields to throw the ball in that storm when he had been on the bench the entire game. Tomlin's in-game decision-making, which was just nonsensical across the board in that game. And then your best offensive player would rather fight somebody on the last play of the game than to try to go out there and win it for you. And we both
couldn't even acknowledge that, though. Head coach had to say, well, they took him out of the play. And didn't he imply that they had done something illegal to Pickens there?
Teams that are wired that way and try to, like you said, fluff off things like that, they're just not championship material. That's not championship thinking there. Like, that game right there should have been a wake-up call for these guys. Tomlin should have spun it that way.
It's time for the Steelers to change direction with their coaching staff. This is not good enough. Three AFC teams haven't won in the last month. The Titans, who are drafting number one, the Browns, who are drafting number two, and the Steelers. How can you defend the Steelers anymore? Thank God they have stability and ownership, or they would be a bottom-tier team. It's time to stop settling.
Colin Cowherd on the state of the Steelers at 5:15. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610.
Again, I can't. Yes, he makes a very damning indictment at the start, but he only gets halfway there. Thank God they have ownership stability. Colin, are you listening?
It was said sarcastically.
You sure about that?
Yes.
You positive?
Knowing people that are close to him, yes.
But you would agree that somebody
that's
could
what
hear,
he was going for there.
But somebody could hear that and not think he was being sarcastic, that he was actually praising Art Rooney.
Yes, he said that tongue in cheek.
Donnie, did you think that last part was serious? Now I feel stupid because Pony goes, that was not serious.
He said, like, thank God they have ownership stability.
Play it again, damn it. I want to hear it again. I have
thank
a good
God
detector
they have
here.
Stability and ownership,
oh, no,
or
okay.
They would be a bottom-tier team.
You
it's
could
time
see,
to stop settling.
Shaking his face, thank God. Oh, thank God.
But see,
God
they would be a bottom tier team. I don't know.
No. See, but I watched something with him before the game Saturday, since he pretty much anticipated how that game was going to go, shredding the organization.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
But I'll take the L.
But he has always...
He's on board with us.
I'll take
given
the L.
Like that, well, they are stable in terms of ownership, I think, just because he knows that it'll always be under one family.
Guys, I told you today is a public service day where we allow for the biggest Steelers fans and the biggest listeners of the show get their takes off, allow for their voices to be heard, to vent, those kind of things. And today has brought a legend out to discuss the topic of the Steelers falling apart, this collapse of epic proportions. She is the ultimate queen of the PM team, the great Candy in Monroeville. Hello,
Hi, Candy.
Thank you for the Christmas card.
Oh, you're more than welcome, guys. It's good to talk to you again. Sorry it's been a while, but I quit drinking Kool-Aid and made my mind up this year that I was going to watch the Steelers without a lot of emotion so I could try to form my own opinion without my expectations coming into it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I'm going to do, as my dad always told me, when you're wrong, be the first one to admit it. And I owe Matt Canada an apology. I thought he was the major problem, and once he was gone, the Steelers would right the ship, and boy, was I wrong on that one. The other thing is, too, I think the quarterbacks, last year's quarterbacks, kind of got a bum deal, too. There's more wrong with the Steelers than the offensive coordinator and the quarterbacks, and I can't 100% say what it is, but I would say look at what hasn't changed. And if nothing has changed that makes the team better, then that's where we better look.
Candy, that is so well said. You have so much wisdom in all your years of watching sports, and we always love it when you share and dispense some of that with us. And please, even if things are doom and gloom and down in the dumps, do not hesitate
don't
to
be
call
a stranger,
us
Candy.
And express that opinion. It's very cathartic. And
we love hearing from you, frankly.
And it made my day, frankly. So thank you, Candy.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, guys. It made my day to talk to you again. And thanks for everything. And everybody keep their chins up above water if you can.
Thank you, Candy. Candy in Monroeville.
One note on Candy's call.
Mm-hmm.
Narrator, you do not, in fact, have to apologize to Matt Canada. You don't.
But she's right, though.
I know she's right, but you do not have to apologize to that man.
He was scapegoated. He was viewed as the Antichrist. He was the guy that was looked at as the bane of everybody's existence.
You kind of led that charge.
Yes, and I'm... She's right. I mean, he was not...
He was a villain,
but he wasn't the major one.
Two things are true. He was scapegoated, and he also actually deserved it, which means he really wasn't scapegoated. He just sucked.
One of the few men that's actually in a good mood today is on the hotline, and that is one Johnny the Barber. Hello, Johnny.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm sorry to interrupt your Steelers pity party. Is that all right?
Well, I know something. I know that this weekend was a banner weekend for the BFF, the Barber Football Focus, because Ohio State, quarterbacked by C.J. Stroud, shocking playoff victory.
BFF is blown up. It is past PFF. And accuracy, and I hope you guys utilize it.
Are you getting any major deals with Chris Collinsworth? You getting any venture capital seed money?
And I need your credentials to log in. I don't have a barber's license, so I would need to steal and borrow yours, Johnny.
As soon as Chris gives me his credentials to log in on PFF, I will...
What would you use those credentials for?
Just to check them against mine to see how inaccurate they are compared to BFF.
Gotcha. I thought you were going to say just to check on Dino Tomlin's PFF numbers.
Dino Tomlin will be in training camp next year. You will see that. That's 100%.
What message do you have to Steelers fans today, Johnny the Barber?
Draft Ohio State across the board. Anytime you can get an Ohio State draft, get it. Get it.
If they drafted with every pick an Ohio State draft eligible player this year, what grade would Barber Football Focus give that draft?
Probably 98 to 95%. And I would I would definitely take TJ Watt and sell him for two draft picks, pick up Jack Sawyer, and you wouldn't lose a beat. Wouldn't lose a beat.
Johnny, I have some good news. I have already began perusing through some mock drafts. I saw a pretty good one from CBS Sports earlier. How about Emeka Egbuka, 21st overall, buddy?
Oh, that's the way to go. That's the way to go. You'll finally, my man would have done better in the game against Baltimore than Pickens. Definitely. I mean, and definitely get G. Scott as a tight end. He doesn't drop balls like a fire miss.
Hmm. Anything else?
Trust me. OHIO.
See ya, Johnny.
Johnny's got most interesting man in the world credentials. He sent me text this morning just showing that he was rolling sushi while he was sending me texts.
It did make me laugh out loud on Friday when I was listening and Dom was in for me.
Yes.
And I'm driving home and I hear a pony go, "Oh, we have my neighbor, our pal Texas Keith." And I'm like, "Oh, that's cool. Like, I'm glad Keith called in." And all I hear is, "Hello, gentlemen."
So he got in early enough that we can see his phone number, and like it when it goes away though when you put the name in. So he got in and I did not see the number there to know. So I was just as shocked as you, and I think it was one of his greatest Master of Disguise performances of all time. And then he stayed in character the whole time.
412-928-9370. Here is David next. Hello, David.
Hey guys, what's going on today?
Hey.
Listen, plain and simple. Pickens needs to go. And before you guys cuss me out or whatever, just Pickens needs to go.
I don't think we're in the mood to defend George Pickens too much on this show.
I agree with you.
Pickens needs to go. Get two good draft picks for him. Why, unfortunately, let that man go and get his Super Bowl ring somewhere else. He needs to go. Get you two draft picks for him. The offensive coordinator needs to go because I didn't see no running of the ball really with any type of stamina out of any, you know, except for Warren. I'll give him his props accordingly. Harris did his thing for as best he could, but I truly can't see him getting through the line worth anything. Another thing also, Freiermuth, I think, did Darrell Washington have more catches and touchdowns than he did this year?
Not more catches and not more touchdowns, no.
But it almost looked like it. That team came out like they just did not care. Like in the locker room, before they even got on the field, they was like, "Here we go at the same mess again. We have not changed a thing in these last five games. Is anyone playing today?" No.
I thought, thanks, David. I thought Najee had a very troubling comment after the game. Now, I think he's probably an honest broker because he knows he's not going to be back. So he's at liberty to basically say how he really feels. And this was his take on what needs to happen for this team to start winning in the playoffs.
I mean, stuff that I just want to say on camera, really something that we talked about on the team that I feel like we need to do. But really just staying together as a team, not listening too much of the outside noise and outside attention. And that's the fastest way to break up a team. And I think that on this four-game losing streak, I think that's what really paying attention too much of what the media say, rather than just doing what we got to do. And I think that, you know, that's one of the things, the main things I feel like we could help us out, you know, because it's going to be tough. There's going to be times when, you know, you have faced some adversity, but I mean, the way you answer it is all that matters. And,
if that's true, then this goes back to Tomlin's great strength purportedly as a coach, that he might not have the best players, but their mindset or the mental state of the team going into a big game is where it needs to be. He's got these guys convinced that they can shock the world and win this game. And Najee instead is saying that this team was so weak-minded and so fragile.
Stuff people like us were saying was getting to them.
And I don't even think it's just that. I think what he really means, too, is what fans and what people put out on social media.
Well, Michael Brewerly account was responding to certain.
Do you know what, like,
less flattered? Yeah, they probably all are checking Twitter and, oh, everyone hates us again.
Probably and start worrying like about that and thinking about that, man.
I don't know. I mean, none of just It does feel like the one little thing that's different about this year's loss, even though we all saw it coming, is for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because the Ravens ran for 300 yards or because it was the Ravens period and people thought that the Steelers could hang with them. I am seeing more and more like bigger national people just saying maybe this just whole thing is rotten and is starting to stink and die on the vine and whatever you'd want to call it. I'm looking through my timeline as we're talking here. Here's another ESPN talking head saying maybe it's time for a divorce.
Who's that?
Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears. She should know a lot about dysfunction.
Yeah.
You're seeing, I mean, there's a huge name out there. Probably the staunchest Tomlin defender of all now, who's starting to cast
Rich Eisen.
Out. Yeah. And now he is, his Twitter game is framing it like, Mike should move
Mike
on
Mike would
from
be
the
better
Steelers.
Off without the Steelers.
It's basically saying to like your friend, you can do better than
yeah,
that person.
There's greener pastures
but
out there, Mike.
I don't. That's what the tweet
Go
said.
Go sow your oats there.
I don't know if that's what Rich actually said, but the fact that Rich is suggesting that these two might be better apart than together is noteworthy.
All right. PM team professors time. This should get ugly. We grade offense, we grade defense, we grade coaching, we grade quarterbacks. On the final exam, the Steelers, 2-touchdown loss to their arch rival, the Ravens. We'll go around the room, give a grade, and then I might ask you to come back and explain it. Offense, for me, I went D-. Malzi?
Sorry, F.
Donnie?
I think this is going to be like the scene in Fast Times at Ridgemont High with Mr. Hand, if you're familiar with it. F.
All right, Malzi, explain the F.
I don't care about the 2 touchdowns they got. They were meaningless. It was the definition of cosmetic stats. They tried to come out doing something different. Freiermuth dropped the ball. They never even got a semblance of a running game established. I just maintain, I watched that game and felt very strongly that if the Ravens wanted to shut them out, they could have. And if the Ravens really desired to like put some risk into the game on their end with injuries, they probably could have scored 42 to 49 points. So
I honestly
no way.
Only gave them a D- because I wanted to highlight something in the game that could have changed the game for the offense. And it really should not boil down to the whims of a subjective call, but I really think it did. That offensive pass interference penalty on Pickens. I don't think another wide receiver in the NFL gets flagged for that.
It was the right call. And it was a two-handed shove. That was an obvious
call. I disagree.
No, I think that was the right call.
So
I watched that in real speed and did not even get excited about the catch because I said it's coming back and it should.
I did not feel that way.
I know you didn't.
I don't think Jefferson tonight or Puka Nacua would get flagged for that.
He did it later in the game much more subtly and got away with it. He didn't do it subtly at all. And you know what? You could argue that maybe the Ravens were coached that if he puts his hands on you, you might as well fall down like you got shot by a potato gun.
Donnie, break the tie in real time. You thought that was an obvious pass interference call?
As soon as I saw the flag, I wouldn't say like the moment he made the catch, but as soon as I saw the flag.
But when you watched the replay back, you thought it was obvious?
I think there was some selling done that other receivers would get away with.
See?
So I guess I would take Pony's side there.
Guys are both homers. It was a good call.
This is not being a homer.
I'm not saying it was a bad call. I'm saying that other guys would get away with it.
George has brought this on himself. He doesn't get benefit of the doubt from any of these guys. From these refs.
Actually going to get a taunting call, too, because he did the first down point.
They go into games, I think, almost looking to call things on him because they've been instructed to look out for the way he plays now.
That's probably true, but I think what's also true is that he actually committed offensive pass interference by the letter of the rule.
Defense, Malzi.
F-.
Donnie?
F.
No, I'm giving an F-, and before Pony gives his grade, I would just like to say that was the sorriest performance. They've gotten scorched by teams that are way better than them before, usually through the air. That's the sorriest, most pathetic, most poorly schemed performance I can remember in my adult life from a Steelers defense.
I gave it an F, too. I'll give another word for it. It was the softest.
I hesitate to say that, but you're right. I usually don't like to call any pro athlete playing, especially this sport, soft. But by the standards of pro football, they looked like it. Business decisions all over the field.
I mean, that Minka Deontay Johnson tackling effort on the sideline was just right after a Highsmith sack, too.
I mean,
just like, all right, whatever, go ahead. Pick up the first down. We don't care.
Schematically, the Ravens, one thing that has become very clear, everyone said it going into the second Steelers-Ravens game. They said, well, watch out. Jackson finally gets to see them again in the same season, and they'll have had time to make adjustments. Man, has that borne out to be prescient and true and everything else, because they just had the Steelers tied in knots.
Donnie, coaching.
F.
I went F too.
F minus. I thought the coaching and the defense were specifically even worse than the offense.
Well, I mean, I think even more so than that, just the lack of heart, motivation, whatever that we saw from everybody. Like, he is supposed to be Mr. Master Motivator.
Listless
they looked like they didn't even want to be there. It was a friggin' playoff game.
Agreed.
Think about the cachet Mike typically has with like most national commentators. There's a veneration. Hey, Mike is like a legend. He's gonna end up in the Hall of Fame. And Herb Street's just flat out calling them out rightfully, mid game, midstream, and just saying like basically, what the hell is this? These guys look pathetic.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. There's nothing. They're just going through the motion.
So well said. That was honestly the best part of the night for me.
There's nothing.
Was hearing somebody with the balls to say that. Quarterback, I gave Russ a D. Malzi?
I mean, I know why he threw two touchdowns, but I give him an F. When things actually mattered, where was Russ?
Donnie?
I'm giving them all Fs.
Yeah, it's just
I told you, Mr. Hand, F, F, F.
Yeah, I only delineated with F minuses because I felt like an F wasn't – I had to, like, clearly note that I felt the defense and the
coaching
were technically
worse. Some Fs are worse than others.
Yes.
Some guys got, like, 35% on this test.
0% for some of them. Other guys had, like, 66%. Just honestly, man, it's probably the most, like, in terms of just how little fight they showed, I think it's one of the most, if not the most, humiliating performance of the Tomlin era. Can you think of a worse one, considering opponent's reputation in the playoffs and against the Steelers?
Browns.
Man, like,
they didn't have their coach. They had guys on their offensive line missing the game because of COVID.
They never made that game an actual game, but at least like they started putting points on the board.
They turned the ball over five times.
They
snapped the ball over the quarterback's head for a touchdown on the first play.
I know. This felt worse to me. It really did. Just pathetic all the way around. Mainly because I guess I expect on some level, stupidly because it stinks, I expect their defense to at least show up and put in an honest accounting for themselves. Other than maybe Hayward, who did? Who did? I mean, you got cut-ups of people
that's
literally.
That's a great question.
You have cut-ups of, like, Nate Tice, one of the film guys, saying, watch number six on this play, and it's Patrick Queen on a Derrick Henry run, just kind of jogging and getting wiped out on the play by a tight end blocking him.
I thought Waitman had a pretty good game. I'll say he accounted himself
well. He was a busy
well.
Man early.